You've probably heard about the film scene in Mumbai and certainly the one in Los Angeles, but what about the one in Nigeria, known as Nollywood? Nigeria is Africa's most populous country, and the films being made in Lagos and other cities there have become some of the most popular throughout West Africa and the world. For this week's Please Explain, we're discussing all things Nollywood, from how it came to be to where its future lies. Our guest is Emily Witt, a journalist and author of the book Nollywood, The Making of a Film Empire. I'm very glad to welcome her back to the show today. Hello, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Listeners, are you a big Nollywood fan? If so, what's your favorite Nollywood movie and why? Give us a call at 212-433-9692, or you can tweet us at WNYC Midday. So, Emily, in your prologue, you quote Femi Adugbemi.
Adugbemi.
Okay, very good. A documentary film festival founder and a soap opera producer. He says that Nollywood is owned by the people whose history it was telling. Can you elaborate on what that means?
Yeah, Nollywood emerged in Nigeria in the early 1990s as the country was coming out of a period of economic crisis. Its cinema system had shut down. Its television stations had lost their funding due to structural economic reform. And so people who had worked at the national broadcaster combined forces with marketers who sold videotapes and started making their own movies using borrowed equipment, oftentimes without any participation in the traditional channels of banking or financial development, and just making movies on VHS, copying them and selling them on the streets, and through that they built an entire industry.
Wow. So it started on VHS. There were the blank tapes, and then they got together with content producers and started moving these movies.
That's right.
What were some of the early ones? What were some of them like, the very initial Nollywood movies?
Well, the most famous one, which came out in 1992, is called Living in Bondage. It was produced by a marketer named Kenneth Nyebue. And it tells the story of a man who's not struggling for money necessarily, but his friends have more money than him. And he soon realized that it's because they've joined a cult and they've each sacrificed a loved one in exchange for the return of riches. So this character ends up sacrificing his wife, Mercy. And then because of that, he's cursed, and her ghost starts visiting him, and he loses everything. So it's a morality tale.
Got it. Did you start watching these early movies? How did you get into Nollywood and get fascinated by this topic and this world of film from halfway around the globe?
Yeah, well, I think like most people who are interested in African cinema, my first introduction was in a different tradition of artistic, intellectual cinema. Directors like Usman Sembene or Ethiopia's Haile Gerima, much more experimental films. But I studied in Mozambique in 2008, and I just started noticing Nigerian movies for sale on DVD in the street all over the country, and they don't even speak English in Mozambique, so it was clear that it was a phenomenon that kind of, you know, emerged really organically.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Midday on WNYC. Our guest is Emily Witt, a journalist and author of the book Nollywood, The Making of a Film Empire. Are you a big Nollywood fan? If so, give us a call. Tell us what your favorite Nollywood movie is and why. Our number is 212-433-9692. You can also send us a tweet at WNYC Midday. So tell us the scale of this. How big of an audience do Nollywood films have? How many films do they make a year, and how many people are watching them?
It's a really difficult number to quantify, the audience numbers in particular. The movies are pirated. There's often, you know, official channels of distribution lose control of the movie very quickly. But An official distributor might sell 100 to 200,000 copies of a popular movie on DVD, or and then it will be copied and pirated. So it's safe to assume the audience is in the millions. It's an international audience, not only within Africa, but around the diaspora mm-hmm. and also in the Caribbean. In recent years, there are new channels of distribution, of course, like, there's a kind of Nollywood Netflix equivalent called Iroko TV.
That's a streaming service?
Mm-hmm. It's a subscription streaming service that is available both in Nigeria and outside.
Are there also movie theaters in Lagos that are all Nollywood films that are playing there?
Not all Nollywood films, but it's an interesting situation where the industry built on the back of these VHS tapes and DVDs actually revived the Nigerian cinema system, which had since the 80s gone out of business. And as recently as 2004, there were almost no movie theaters in Lagos, for example, which is a city of 21 million people.
And then what happened? How did that turn around? Because of the success of Nollywood, these cinemas came back and reopened?
Well, in part, it was just the country's return to democracy, an improving economy. They were building malls, and malls have cinemas in them traditionally. And at first, they were only showing foreign films, but a lot of the movie entrepreneurs there thought it was kind of ridiculous that here was this country with its own industry. Why not start showing Nigerian movies? And it's been an interesting relationship where the fact of the cinema has demanded that the production of the movies gets better, mm-hmm. which again means that now there's more good movies that are cinema quality that people will pay money to see. So it's a growing industry there. But there's still, for a country of 180 million people, there's, I think, less than 30 cinemas in the country, or somewhere around there.
You said that the films have changed. They've gotten a little bit sleeker. Is that fair to say? Is the acting better? Are the topics different than they were when when Nollywood first started?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, the old, they sometimes distinguish between old and new Nollywood. It's not totally fair to distinguish that way, but the traditional movies would run on for 2 or 3 hours across several discs or tapes. They often had very folkloric themes, very family-centric stories, almost like, morality tales. A typical story might be a woman has an affair, and then the children she conceives from the affair become cursed, and then the family has to go to a priest, and there's an exorcism, and lots of stories like that about sudden riches that spoil a person's good
morals. We have a comment on Twitter from Farah who says, one of my favorite Nollywood movies is Igodo, and I love any movie with Pete Adochi. I apologize if I'm butchering these names. I grew up when Nollywood came from popular shows like Checkmate, Village Masquerade, and one of the earliest movies was Glamour Girls with Eucharia Anunobi. These are all familiar names to you?
Yeah, and it's great that he brought up those old soap operas because, Checkmate, Ripples, these were really, really popular television shows on the Nigerian Television Authority, the main public broadcaster. And again, a lot of those directors went on to make the earliest Nollywood movies. I believe Checkmate was directed by a woman named Amaka Igwe, who made some of the most beloved Nollywood movies from the 90s.
When Nollywood first developed, there was a tendency to watching videotapes at home. And I believe part of that was given the fact that the political climate was such that just people weren't in public as much anymore. And now there's a move away from that. And obviously people are now going to the theaters more. Is that accurate?
Yeah. That,
mm-hmm. And how does that relate to the politics of the changing politics of the country?
Yeah, I mean, in the 80s, Nigeria was under a military dictatorship. And first of all, the VHS machine was a kind of status symbol for a certain middle-class Nigerian, so it was partially that. And now the city, you know, I wouldn't say Lagos is safe. It's a big city. There's a lot going on there, but there's much more commerce in the public space that's you know, in these malls and in these spaces. It's become common for people that live in Lagos that can afford a movie ticket to wait out the traffic at the movies before they return from the island to the mainland, for example.
Who is Genevieve Nagy, and how does she embody Nollywood? I looked her up, and she has like 4 million followers on Instagram. She's quite a famous person. Tell us about her.
Yeah, Genevieve Nagy is the queen of Nigerian movies. She's been an actor. She's the kind of sweetheart of Nigeria. She's been an actor in the movie since the very beginning, since the low budget days, and then made the transition into the cinema movies. So she's beautiful. She has poise. She's, you know, especially back in the early days of Nollywood, did a lot of advertising endorsement and stuff that had her face all over Africa, really. So she's kind of the leading lady. There's actually many leading ladies, but she's really someone that Oprah called her the Julia Roberts of Nollywood.
That's quite the compliment from Oprah. Mm-hmm. Are there also actors who are that famous, male actors who are as famous, or are the actresses sort of the bigger names in this world?
It's interesting. You know, there are leading men that are hugely famous. One of the kind of male equivalent of Genevieve Nagy is a guy named Ramsey Noah. He's the Cary Grant. He's the romantic figure. Uh-huh. There's an older actor named Richard Moji Damijo, who is also, they call him RMD. He's, you know, kind of now a little older, but still also, yeah, a leading man. But these movies, many of them do have very woman-centric plots. There's a lot, within the morality, there's a lot of sexual morality tales, a lot of women getting punished for certain things. But the stories frequently are very female led.
We have a caller, Michelle in Brooklyn. Michelle, are you a big Nollywood fan?
I'm an okay Nollywood fan. I am Nigerian American. So my mother loves Nollywood. I have younger cousins who love it. My mom watches it all the time. I'm more of, sometimes get sucked in, sometimes just roll my eyes at some of the plot. But it is also an industry that, even though I'm not always a huge consumer of, I have such admiration for what we've sort of accomplished and it's really, I think, a testament to Nigerian hustle, Nigerian ingenuity. And, you know, I think oftentimes our reputation globally is not so positive, and this is something that we've really created from scratch. But I think the challenges and issues I have with it oftentimes is the themes, you know, sort of a lot of the black magic stuff. I think something your guest said, kind of reiterating these morality and kind of, you know, women getting punished or, you know, getting HIV or, you know, just some, you know, kind of just reiterating and reminding women to be conservative in their behavior and things that, you know, I'm not always, you know, these kind of cultural norms are sort of revisited and kind of hammered into your head through these films. So oftentimes I kind of watch it and kind of roll my eyes, but it is pretty incredible, I think, as an industry.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say I do have a film I do like. It's called Beyonce, the President's Daughter.
Wait, it's called Beyonce, the President's Daughter?
It's called Beyonce, yes, and the President's Daughter. It's part one and part two. It might be a part three, I don't know.
Is that, as it sounds, they just took the name Beyonce and then made her the daughter of the President of Nigeria? Is that what it's about?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. You see that a lot in our movies. It's sort of these like multiple parts, you know, sort of interesting titles. I mean, if people are interested, there's actually a lot of films, I think more modern films on Netflix, the kind of new I think you could say kind of the new era of Nollywood. There's a film called 50 that is sort of like new Nollywood. That's very kind of glamorized, and it's like life in Lagos, you know, kind of now. And I don't know if your guests would consider 50 like Nollywood per se. But that's like, I think Netflix is actually also building out, you know, the Nollywood category. So there's quite a number of Nollywood films on Netflix.
Michelle, can you search on Netflix for Nollywood and then get the movies? You can, huh?
Yeah, if you do African films, yes.
Got
and then
it.
You have to read the description. But yeah, there's quite a number of them.
Beyonce, the President's Daughter, Part 1 and 2. Excellent.
I don't think that's on Netflix.
Oh, okay, I'll try to find that elsewhere. Thank you so much, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Emily, are the morality tales, are they starting to change? Is it getting a little bit more liberal in terms of the topics that the Nollywood movies focus on, or is it still the same as it has been?
Well, yes and no. Movies like 50, which the caller described, these are movies that get cinema releases. So they're appealing to a wealthier urban audience that might have slightly more cosmopolitan taste, is more internationally connected, maybe. And for those audiences, I would say yes, the old morality tale, family-centric story is not the only kind of story anymore. But on the other hand, there's still a low-budget industry that's centered in an eastern city called Asaba, where they churn out those old-school movies by the dozens. And yeah.
So it's just like low-budget, film a movie in a week, churn it out, that kind of thing? Is that the Asaba
exactly,
style?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you'll meet directors or producers who will make, you know, 30 movies in a year. You'll talk to actors who have made hundreds of movies over the course of their career. They really churn them out there.
The caller had mentioned Netflix. Do you think the future of Nollywood is through digital distribution? I mean, we're going to move away, I imagine. They're going to move away from VHS and DVDs.
Yeah, absolutely. And they already have. The obstacle to digital distribution in Nigeria is the cost of data. Most people have cell phones, an increasing number of people have smartphones. But buying data packages for your phone is still expensive. So what Iroko has done, which is really interesting, is set up little downloading checkpoints in like kiosks in neighborhoods. So when you buy a subscription to the service, you can just go to the kiosk and download your movie. It's like going to the library or something, using their data.
I'm Matt Katz, and you're listening to Midday on WNYC. Our guest is Emily Witt, a journalist and author of the book Nollywood, The Making of a Film Empire. Are you a Nollywood fan, or do you have some questions about what in the world Nollywood is? Give us a call at 212-433-9692. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after a break. Midday on WNYC, I'm Matt Katz. For this week's Please Explain, we're discussing all things Nollywood with Emily Witt, a journalist and the author of Nollywood, The Making of a Film Empire. Emily, is the part of the new aesthetic of new Nollywood that they now have bigger budgets thanks to some government funding?
Yeah, the government set up a fund for Nollywood movies a few years ago, and it has meant that a few movies have been able to be a little more ambitious, but it's still, compared to Hollywood or even a Bollywood movie, the budgets are small. We're talking, you know, a big budget movie will still be less than $1 million usually.
We have a caller, Musa Kante in Staten Island. Hello, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling. Are you a Nollywood fan? Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
You asked for my favorite movie.
Yes, yes. What's your favorite movie?
What's your favorite movie? So that's what I just want to mention.
Excellent. Tell us.
All right. My favorite movie is The Mirror Boy.
The Mural Boy.
Mirror Boy.
Yes, Mirror Boy. Mirror. I say Mirror.
Got it. Why is that your favorite movie? What do you like about it?
Uh, well, it's a story, and the coincidence in the movie now, which is really a true story now, the lady in the movie who is the queen, the Genevieve is in the movie, and the queen, who is now Fatima Bio, is now one of the actress there, is now our first lady, because I'm originally from Sierra Leone.
Ah.
Is our first lady now in Sierra Leone.
Oh,
and,
wow.
The movie, hello?
Yes.
Okay. The movie is about a young boy who was born in London, but he is the heir to a throne in Africa, in a country called Gambia.
Yes.
So, but he didn't know that. But his father was killed, who was the king, but he didn't know his father became a ghost. Like, but he appears to him as this young boy, who is his direction to where he came from, which is the village where he was a king. But he was a ghost, but the boy can only see him, but he thought he was just a companion to him.
Wow.
So he didn't know that was his father until when, at the end of the story, when they finally get to the village where his actual throne is, then the story, we have to, they reveal the entire story, how come the boy became, he's the king, because his father was killed by the very, king and queen that are now sitting in the throne.
Got it.
So that's how the plot unfold, and they happen to know that, and the entire.
Thank you king. Thank you for sharing your favorite movie, Mr. Conte. I really appreciate it. And our caller is from Sierra Leone, which gets to the larger audience for Nollywood. This is not just Nigeria. This is also the rest of West Africa, I imagine, where these movies are quite popular. And then the African diaspora too, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And also East Africa and Southern Africa as well. The movies really travel. And other African countries have also imitated the style and genres of Nigerian movies. Ghana has its own industry now. I'm sure Sierra Leone and Liberia also have theirs.
Tell me about how you structured your research for this. You obviously went to Nigeria, and then you tried to get to a film shoot. You wanted to be on the set, right? Was that easy to do? Could you just like roll up to a set and say, I want to talk about Nollywood?
Yeah, I mean, Lagos is an enormous city, and you know, like any other work of journalism, it's just about meeting with people until you find somebody that tells you what's going on. In Nigeria, in particular, the personal introduction is very important. So I began, you know, just meeting with television executives, actually film, you know, people that worked in the cinema system, and then made my way onto a set in the city of Jos in central Nigeria, and then eventually to Asaba, where these low-budget movies are made.
Tell me a little bit about the problem of piracy and how it has both helped to popularize the industry, but now there's new limitations on it, and there's, you know, they're trying to legitimize the industry in some ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest obstacle really to Nollywood's growth has never been audience size. It's been that the profits a movie makes will not return to the people that produced it. And that happens because, again, a movie comes out, it's released through an official DVD distributor or digital distributor, and then it's copied and distributed by people that don't have to make any overhead back, and so they'll sell it for very, very cheap. So, you know, I was last in Nigeria in 2015. You know, here we think of the DVD as an obsolete technology, but because the internet is slow there and it's still expensive, you can buy almost anything on DVD on the street in Lagos, whether it's Game of Thrones or a local production.
You write that globalization is no longer necessarily synonymous with cultural imperialism or with the domination of a single country's entertainment output. And this means that, contrary to what many of us might think, Hollywood does not envelop the globe and it's not necessarily the dominant form of entertainment in every country. Is that right? It's a different than maybe some Western chauvinists might perceive it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what really has emerged in globalization are cities that are global, sort of nodes of cultural production. So, you know, you have Nollywood, you have Bollywood, you have the TV shows and soap operas of Brazil or Mexico. You have, South Korean soap operas. Countries and cities that become known for producing movies or television or music that gets widespread distribution beyond their borders.
You also write that Nollywood supports the notion that, quote, the assertion of Nigerian identity is not conducted in opposition to the forces of globalization and multiculturalism, but within them. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And that refers back to this earlier post-colonial cinematic tradition, which was very much about reclaiming African identity away from Europe and depicting an authentic African identity. But what Living in Bondage and these early movies from the 90s do is they show that to be African does not mean to be necessarily being at home in your village. It means talking on a cell phone in Lagos and watching TV and discussing about what car you want to buy. And, it's connected to the rest of the global economy. It's not in isolation to that.
Are there themes of colonialism? Do they tell stories about Nigeria in the context of the past colonialism and the West? Or is it really just about Nigeria and that culture?
Yeah, I think, Nigeria is a very proud, it's a multicultural society and its people prefer to see depictions of their language, their clothing, their hairstyles, their food, and like everybody else. But I think especially in Nigeria, when you look at the strength of its cultural industries, whether you're talking about its pop music, its fashion, its movies, its food, people just prefer Nigerian things there to but that doesn't mean that people won't also talk about Empire or the latest HBO show.
You mentioned Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Lou in Staten Island. Lou, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, Lou.
No, my favorite Nollywood movie was something called 419.
419.
It is based on a Ponzi scheme. Almost years before Bernie Murdoch came around, they had something like that. This guy came out of nowhere and he came up with this bogus idea about investment. And he went to the best and the brightest in the country to invest in this scheme. They didn't know it. And when they finally came to realize what was happening, they were so ashamed and embarrassed. Some even killed themselves because how dare this person come from nowhere? And in Africa, being at status is a very big thing.
Yes.
And that's my favorite. It's so, called 419.
419. So why is that your favorite?
Well, it's because these guys who were supposed to be the best and the brightest in the country. They were business savvy. They were outstanding members of the community. And for somebody to just come and just walk through them, make them to lose their lifetime investment, their family relationship, their standing in the neighborhood, and all the kind of stuff there.
Lou, I was going to ask Lou, how do you watch Nollywood films? Do you stream it? Do you have...
Now I stream it, but at the time, we used to buy the copies of the streets. Yeah, I live on Staten Island. There is a huge Nigerian community here. They go to things. Some of them have shops. The Guineans, some Malian, they have shops and they sell them in their store. So we just buy them from there for $5 or two for $10, stuff like that.
That's great. How long ago did shopkeepers in Staten Island start selling Nollywood movies? Is this going back several years?
Yeah, a couple of years. Now it has died down now because now we can stream it from home. We don't have to go buy them anymore. But they I think maybe about 10, 11 years ago.
Wow. How about that? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Lou. I appreciate it. We'll all watch 419 this weekend. Emily, what's your favorite Nollywood movie?
Well, one movie I really like that's available on Netflix is called Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
It's an homage to Scorsese, obviously, but it's also really a love letter to Lagos. It's about the plot follows a taxi driver as he drives around the city at night and gets around in various misadventures. It's shot entirely at night. The music is wonderful. The acting is wonderful, and it's a really nice. It's mostly in Yoruba and in Nigerian Pidgin, which is the language people speak on the streets in Nigeria. And it's a really nice movie.
What languages are these films in? Are they in mostly English? Is it depend?
Yeah, there's. English is the main language, maybe because it's the lingua franca of the country. But there are also, there's a Yoruba language industry, an Igbo language industry, a Hausa language industry, which is rooted in the north of Nigeria in a city called Kano. And those movies, that part of Nigeria is predominantly Muslim. So those movies have a very different sensibility than the ones made in Lagos or in Asaba.
Throughout the book, you include these full descriptions of street scenes from markets to highways, traffic, food. Why did you include these passages? Why was that important to describe in the book in order to give some background to the Nollywood scene?
Well, even now, sitting here trying to remember what it's like to be in Lagos, you can't really approximate the feeling of being there. It's a city of 21 million people. It's so big. It's so busy. It's a city where, you know, in New York, for example, you might have a feeling of anonymity because it's a big city. But in Lagos, you almost don't. It's a very, people interact constantly with each other. It's very, there's a lot of street drama and street interaction. And a lot of the commerce is on the street. A lot of things take place outside. And so describing that was a way of describing why, for example, I don't know, some rom-com from Hollywood would never really feel real when you're there. It's why you would want something that was in that setting.
So the Nollywood films, there's a lot of street scenes, I imagine. I mean, is that what's represented in those movies, that sort of thriving street life?
Well, just logistically, that's harder to shoot, actually. But
right.
One of the most popular cinema movies is called The Wedding Party, and the Nigerian wedding is a lavish display. You know, people, you invite hundreds of people, you have elaborate food, it's like a huge party, and that, for example, is something that is in movies all the time.
After you wrote the book, have you continued to watch Nollywood movies? Or do you enjoy them now, even though you're not doing it for this particular project?
Yeah, I mean, I mostly keep tabs on the gossip, and there's a collective of filmmakers, Nigerian filmmakers, that has put out a manifesto that is kind of like anti-Nollywood. So they have these rules like no wedding films, no, no God Be the Glory at the end of the movie.
Emily, thank you so much.
I really
appreciate it. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Matt Katz, and I've been speaking with Emily Witt, the author of Nollywood, The Making of a Film Empire, published by Columbia Global Reports.